So tonight we'll be hearing from Psalm 90, which can be found on page 599 of the Church Bibles. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands."
Thanks, Sophie. So I'm sure many of you know that the Psalms are a collection of songs, and today's psalm, written by Moses, is also actually a prayer. It's a psalm with big themes about life and death. Big themes, which we definitely need God's help with, so let me pray for us before we start. Lord God, we come to you humbly as we seek to meet you in your word. Please give us a soft heart, even when we hear difficult things. Help us to know and love you more. And please help me to speak clearly and faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. So, can I start with a big question? What's the secret to making the most of life? According to the musical Rent, there are only 525,600 minutes in a year. 525,000 moments so dear. If that's the case, how would you make the most of this short life? Maybe you've got a bucket list of experiences and holidays. Maybe you've got a very clear career goal. Maybe it's achieving the dream of being happily married with 2.5 kids, one dog, and a house of a garden. Well, what we'll see in today's psalm is that the secret to making the most of this short life is to have a wise perspective to enable wise living. Our first point today is that we need a wise perspective about God versus humans, that God is everlasting and righteous, but humans are transient and sinful. And our second point is that this perspective leads us to wise living in satisfaction and work. We find satisfaction in God's compassionate love, and we work in line with his work. So let's get started. Our first point, a wise perspective to make the most of our lives. And part A of this perspective is understanding that God is everlasting and humans are transient. An everlasting God versus transient humanity. Have a look with me at verses 1 and 2. Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has dwelt with humanity across multiple generations. In our lifetimes, we might span a few generations, a baby boomer grandparent, a Gen X boss, millennial and Gen Z friends, Gen Alpha kids. But God is so everlasting that he spans beyond our modern generational categories. And what's even more mind-blowing is that he actually predates creation. Even before the birth of mountains or the construction of our planets, God was already there. Yet, in contrast to the everlasting God, we humans are merely transient. We can't spend all generations of humanity or predate creation because our lives all conclude in death. We see in verse 3, you, God, turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. All the carbon molecules, chemical reactions, and electrical sparks in our bodies will one day eventually decompose when we die. See, the difference between humans and God is so striking when we consider how God views time. In verse 4, we see that 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or a watch in the night. 1,000 years, from the Battle of Hastings to 2066, which is still 40 years away, and a watch in the night, which is about 3 hours. So to an everlasting God, 1,000 years of history is like the length of a Wimbledon final. But unlike God, our grasp of time is very fleeting. In verses 5 to 6, we see that, yet you, God, sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered. The length of our lives is basically the lifespan of grass. So, if we do want to make the most of our short lives, we first need to have a wise perspective, humbly accepting that God is everlasting and we are merely transient. How would this perspective impact us? Well, do we live as if our lives are not going to end? Perhaps we hold too tightly to the plans we've made, trying to control every aspect of our lives without realizing that death is more certain than our plans. Perhaps we try to extend the length of our lives. Maybe we want to live longer by following the latest health and lifestyle hacks. Or maybe we think we can live beyond our grave. We subconsciously want to have children to extend our legacy through them, or through our careers or our achievements. Well, maybe it's time to sober up. Let's not delude ourselves that we are more than temporary creatures compared to an everlasting God. Let's confess to our God of our pride when we've tried to assume control over the length of our lives. And let's be more awed by the everlasting God. The next time we see a mountain or a star, maybe stop and reflect that God predates that. The more we are awed by God's everlasting nature, the more we can willingly accept our transitory nature. Appreciating the everlasting God versus a transient humanity is part A of a wise perspective. Part B of this perspective is understanding that God is righteous and we are sinful. A righteous God versus sinful humanity. See, the reason our lives are transient is solely due to our sinful nature. Because of our sin, a righteous God judges us with death. All our lives end in death because of sin. We see in verses 7 to 9, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Sin is where we've rejected God's rule over our lives, where we've not honored his glory, where we've chosen not to love him above all else. And these aren't just outward actions, but also secret sins of the heart, of our thoughts. No matter how hidden our sins are, they come to light in God's righteous presence. And so, a righteous God cannot dwell with sin, and so is rightly angry with it. God's anger at sin is a fiery wrath, like a forest fire that consumes everything in its path. It's because of our sin that a righteous God has to rightly judge us by ending our lives in death. And since we've all sinned, death is also inevitable for all of us. In verse 10, we see that our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Even the best day of your life, your wedding, when you score that dream job, that special holiday moment, no matter how amazing that day was, it is still colored with sadness. The most perfect day, like all other days, will also fade in death. So, how does this perspective impact us? Maybe you're offended or embarrassed by a God who judges us with death. We're basically good people. We give to charity. We reuse and recycle. We even give lifts to seniors on Sunday mornings. Yet Moses says in verse 11, "If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fee that is your due." So what we actually need to do is to know more of this truth, that a righteous God is angry at our sin. We may need to confess our sins to God, especially those hidden ones. And we may need to wrestle with and confess to God when we struggle to accept his righteous judgment or think our sin is insignificant. But perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Have you ever wondered why people have to die? Why does death feel so painful? Perhaps a sober reflection on these questions can be a first step towards a wiser understanding on the reality of life and death. Now I admit, this perspective on a Sunday evening is very confronting. But to make the most of life, this is the wisest perspective to hold. As Moses says and prays in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." A wise perspective about God's eternity and righteousness versus humans' transient and sinful nature doesn't actually have to lead to cynicism or fatalism. Rather, this grounds us and pushes us to find a wiser way of living, enabling us to use the days of our life well. So, how to make the most of our life? Our first point was to have a wise perspective about God and humanity. And this perspective leads to our second point. Making the most of life now requires wise living. And part A of wise living is about finding lasting satisfaction in God's compassionate love. Lasting satisfaction in God's compassionate love. After many sobering verses on the reality of life, death, sin, and God's wrath, Moses can't help but cry out in verse 13, "Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants." In the face of God's judgment, the only escape from his wrath is for him to compassionately relent. A sinful people cannot withstand God's anger unless he shows mercy. Moses' cry for mercy here is similar to his pleading in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites created a golden calf. God was rightly angry at them because of their sin, and in his wrath wanted to wipe them out completely. Yet Moses pleads in Exodus chapter 32, verses 11 to 14. Lord, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. So we see in Exodus that God was compassionate and relented from his wrath for his name's sake. And so for us too, we can receive the same compassion from God. Whilst we might not have built golden calves, our idols are equally offensive to God. Our sin still deserves God's wrath. Yet God shows us compassionate love. His greatest act of compassion was sending Jesus to die on a cross, to take our place of judgment. His righteous wrath was propitiated, that is, appeased, by Jesus dying in our place. And as Jesus gloriously rose from the dead, we too will one day rise from the dead. So, whilst everything else might fade in this temporary life, we do have an eternal source of satisfaction in God's compassionate love. This can bring true joy and gladness, as we see in verses 14 to 15. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. Moses isn't idealistic. He knows life now still will have trouble and affliction. Yet these are temporary pains which will fade, whereas God's compassionate love lasts forever. And so that gives us great hope, for this source of satisfaction extends beyond the grave. Maybe finding lasting satisfaction in God's compassionate love sounds too theoretical to you. Well, here are some suggestions to make a start. First, we could learn to let go of the golden calves in our lives. Maybe it's a job, the house, our spouse, our friends, the holidays, the security of a pension pot. Do we realize that satisfaction in these things don't last compared to God's everlasting love? Second, when life gets hard, one thing that could help is to play out the worst case scenario. Okay, so I do lose my job, my house, my family, my friends, my pension pot. Does this really matter in the eternal perspective, when I have lasting satisfaction in God's love? Third, we can already find satisfaction by relating to God now. All relationships deepen with time. That's the same for us and God. As we speak to him in prayer, hear him speak through his word, and meditate and sing to him, this deepens our relationship with him and builds lasting satisfaction, joy, and gladness. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, wouldn't you want to find a source of lasting satisfaction which persists beyond the fading joys of this life and pushes beyond the pains of this world? Now, if part A of wise living is about finding lasting satisfaction in God's love, part B is about work. Even in this short life that we have, we can make the most of our days by working in line with God's glorious work. Work in line with God's glorious work. We see in verses 16 to 17, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In Moses' time, the people saw many wonderful deeds of God's rescue. From slavery in Egypt, across the sea, through the desert, and towards a promised land. And that's just a foreshadow to the most glorious rescue work of God. That Jesus died to rescue us from sin and death, so that we can have eternal life. God's greatest deed of splendor was shown to us on the cross. And God continues his work now, drawing people to him and showing us our need for his rescue. So if we align our work with his work, then God will grant us his favor. God will establish the work of our hands, not in the sense of success in our jobs or careers, for we know these are temporary and fade in death. Rather, the only work that lasts to eternity is God's salvation work. So, if we do work that is aligned to his salvation work, he will bless it. But if you're anything like me, life is already filled with lots of paid and unpaid work responsibilities. And maybe we've forgotten the most important work assignment that God has given us. This work assignment could be to be a messenger. God is still working to draw people to himself, so we need to be messengers of his salvation work, both to each other and to those who don't know God yet. When we dread the awkward conversation with our colleagues about our faith, when front door conversations seem too much of a commitment, when we're tired and rather skip home group, when teaching a bunch of rowdy children on a Sunday morning feels like a burden, don't forget, we're doing the most important work assignment from God. We could also be mobilizers who support and enable the work of the messengers. As we click slides on the AV desk, monitor the PA system, make coffee and tea, stack chairs at church, all these are glorifying works which enable the messengers of God's work. And all the time on different church committees and e-teams, the money donated to gospel causes, the prayers for gospel work, these are important ways of carrying out the work assignment that God has given us. Wise living is about doing work in line with God's work. But if you're like me, it can feel like a chore. We might feel too inadequate, or we might just feel overwhelmed by other priorities in life. But let's be encouraged. It's God who establishes the work. He is the one who is initiating and strengthening it. And he will bless this work, even if it might not feel like it now. So let's get wise with the limited time we have in this life and work in line with God's glorious salvation work. To conclude, we started this evening with the question, what is the secret to making the most of our life? We saw that it's firstly about having a wise perspective, humbly accepting that we're transient sinful beings compared to the everlasting righteous God. And secondly, we saw that this perspective leads to wise living. With the limited time we have been given, we can find lasting satisfaction in God's compassionate love. And we can work in line with his glorious work. To end, we're going to listen and reflect to a sung version of Psalm 90 by Shane and Shane, and then Dave will lead us in the prayer afterwards.